This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Audrey Nowakowski. Since March, the coronavirus pandemic has changed the lives of people of all ages, but the changes have been especially challenging for parents and their children. Suddenly, kids couldn't return to school, they're stuck at home all day trying to learn virtually, and they can't visit friends or participate in many of the activities they enjoy. All kids are different, so their reactions to living under the new rules of a pandemic can vary, especially for younger children who thrive on their daily routines. Parents are dealing with additional anxiety, tantrum behaviors, changes in eating and sleeping habits, or noticing their kids withdraw from friends and family. But there have also been positives to this experience for some children and parents who've gotten to spend more time with one another, or perhaps thrive on virtual learning. So how can we best help children adjust and understand why we have to live this way for the time being? To help answer some common questions, I'm joined by Dr. Maggie Altschaffel, a psychologist at Children's Hospital of Wisconsin Community Services. She begins by explaining some of the main concerns she's heard from parents.
You know, I think biggest concerns, right, are just dealing with that emotional reaction, how to explain what's going on, because it is so drastically different from what we've been experiencing. And then, you know, a lot of families are worried about, you know, my child's missing out maybe on 2 to 3 months of typical instruction. You know, we're doing some educational activities, but how is that going to impact their learning in the long run?
Right. And on the note of trying to explain things, so as you mentioned, different kids of different ages can handle, process things better. So is being too transparent a bad thing for children? You know, how a lot of parents are concerned of how honest are you supposed to be? Is it healthier to kind of shield them in a way, not necessarily keep them in the dark, but pick and choose how to inform the situation, especially for young kids?
I mean, I think that's a really hard thing to tackle as a parent because you want to make sure that they're staying emotionally safe, but obviously you can't shield them 100% of the time from what's going on in the world around them, especially because it's impacted their day-to-day life immediately and, you know, kind of turned things upside down. So I think the best advice that I can give to parents is that you know your child best and you've had to explain difficult things to them before. So know based on past experience sort of how much they can handle. But a good recommendation is just to sort of meet them where they are. So ask them kind of if they know kind of what's going on, answer their questions, be reassuring, use language that's developmentally appropriate. You know, so find out where they are and sort of let them take the lead. I think in terms of explaining sort of the social distancing thing for them, one of the recommendations I have is to, I guess, number one, focus on the things that we're doing as a family, as individuals, and as a community to stay safe. And I think you can use analogies like, you know, we all wash our hands, we all take showers, we cover our mouth when we cough. And so we're doing the same thing now, but just in a different and a bigger way so that we can all stay safe. You know, it's the same thing of like, you know, when you have a stomach flu, you stay home from school so we don't spread those germs to other kids. And now we all have to stay home because those germs spread so much faster that we want to just stay home so everybody doesn't get sick right now. So stay calm, be reassuring is kind of the best advice that I can give.
This pandemic obviously raises the importance of hygiene, staying clean, social distancing, because the consequences can be so dire. So how do you think it's best to talk about sickness and death with children, especially if either they see or hear of it happening on the news or maybe even someone they know or a family member is getting severely sick or someone dies from COVID?
You know, again, every child is gonna worry about it differently. So again, meet them where they're at, and I think help them express their emotions that they're feeling inside. I think particularly with younger kids, they're going to be having a lot of feelings, but it's going to be really confusing for them. So different activities like drawing or playing out emotions might be helpful. And then start to have, you know, some more conversations with older children, validate their feelings, be understanding, stay calm yourselves, but they might be feeling frustrated, angry, confused. And then with older children, obviously you can give them more information as is appropriate. But I think, you know, keeping things developmentally appropriate, And again, emphasizing as much as you can that we're doing all these things to stay safe, and we'll kind of, you know, when death or, you know, if someone's going to be hospitalized in their family, you know, worry about it then, you know, because worrying about things that might happen is going to stress children out more. So kind of let's meet that challenge when it happens. And then again, going through the same process of like being reassuring, staying calm, and then asking specific questions that they have.
So children, depending on their ages, might be expressing their feelings often, as you mentioned, like through tantrums. You know, there's mood swings and anger. You know, they're sad they're missing school, their teachers, friends. There's a feeling like they're being punished for not being able to play or do their daily activities because in the past you did something wrong, so you can't do what you enjoy, right? And with tantrums taking place more frequently because they don't know how to express what they're feeling as well, you know, how do you think mood swings can best be addressed?
Right. I mean, I think the punishment thing is really a conversation to have with your child of, you know, I know it feels like you're being punished and I know it's super frustrating, but we're staying home right now and you can't play with your friends because we're all trying to be safe. So let's find some other ways that you can connect with your friends. But in terms of just sort of, as you say, like dealing with those mood swings, or there's those big tantrums or emotional outbursts, a good first step is to start to help kids practice just identifying those emotions. So when they're having a tantrum, and, you know, as long as they're, you know, when they're in that state where they're at least able to speak a little bit more, saying, you know, I see that you're having a really big feeling. Let's find a word together that shows how you feel. So some kids like to talk about it like that. So maybe make like a list. You can make an emotion vocabulary together. You can make an emotion chart. I know one of our therapists at Children's has made an emotion chart with different pictures of her dog and sort of labeled emotions. You can use emojis. You can kind of be creative and let your kid kind of explore how they want to express their emotions. You know, obviously, older children are going to be able to use words a little bit better, but, you know, some older kids and adolescents like to use art as well, and that can be a really good way to get those feelings across. Or they might want to journal about it, write a story. Maybe they want to make a TikTok, you know, about how they're feeling, right? But I think, you know, another good strategy I can offer is to model good coping yourself, you know, because as adults, we're all feeling stressed and overwhelmed and anxious. And so if you can tell them, you know, this is really hard for me, I'm feeling frustrated and anxious every day. So here's what I do to cope with those strong feelings. And this helps me feel better. Again, answer questions that they have and reassure them that, you know, we're doing the best that we can to stay safe. And then the other thing that you can do as a parent is start teaching them some coping skills. And so there's lots of resources to help you with this. And I think a good place to start would be, you know, to reach out to your school. A lot of schools have great, well-resourced mental health professionals like school counselors, school psychologists, school social workers. So that's a good place to start for some support. But there's also, again, there's a lot of great resources both on our Children's Wisconsin website about coping skills. The Child Mind Institute has some great resources, and they do daily Facebook chats with mental health experts on their Facebook page. So that's a good place to look as well. But again, you want to look at different strategies like using art skills or doing some relaxation, doing yoga, doing breathing exercises, but doing a favorite hobby. So whatever is going to help you and your child sort of bring that emotional intensity down to a lower level, you know, whether that's doing something that's going to distract for a little bit, go outside, play a game, do an art activity, make a meal together, bake some cookies, or help doing some relaxation. Those are all some helpful strategies to use.
You brought up the counselors and resources schools provide for their kids. And, you know, that's such an important role that schools can play in a kid's life outside of their daily learning. And school just in itself, the role it can play in their mental health. So do you think that these circumstances are also making parents a little more aware of their children's mental health?
I mean, I think it's bringing more attention to mental health just sort of in general overall. But as you said, you know, I've had some parents tell me I've gotten to know my children a lot better because I'm just around them, you know, pretty much 24/7. So I definitely think that they're noticing things that upset them, maybe about specific schoolwork or transitions, especially because emotions are so heightened. So I definitely think parents are being more aware. And I think they're feeling sort of an urgency of, what can I do to support them? But also maybe when is the point where I need to reach out for some additional support as well? And I think that can be a pretty scary thing because those resources look a lot differently right now because things are virtual.
Right. And is it difficult to treat children over video chat? I imagine there's screen fatigue if they're learning that way for school and entertainment and everything. And here's another thing on top of that.
No, it's been a big adjustment both for those mental health providers and for families, right? I think the good thing has been that we've learned a lot the last couple of months. You know, it depends on the family and the child how well those virtual visits work. You know, as you said, like the fatigue and just that self-regulation to sit in front of a screen for a 30-minute appointment, that might not be so helpful for a six-year-old. But honestly, a lot of therapy with younger children and older children as well is appropriate, is to teach parents about behavior strategies and coping strategies that they can then use at home. And as you said, parents are the ones that, especially now, are spending more time with their children. So a lot of therapy now is helping parents both cope with the stress themselves, but then teach them some strategies to use with their children. But what's great too is that we have found, you know, with older children and adolescents, that they really, really like doing virtual visits. I noticed myself that a lot of my teenager clients are more engaged over video chat than they ever were when I see them face to face, just because it seems to be a lot more natural connection for them. And I think particularly some of our more anxious adolescents, and especially now when emotions are heightened, that if they're able to sit in their own room, you know, snuggled up with their dogs, they're a lot more willing to talk about things that are going on because they feel safer in that space. So for some kids, it's been a good change. And, you know, we've made a lot of progress because, you know, they're able to connect in a different way.
When it comes to, I'm especially thinking of younger children, when you're first going to school, those initial few years, you know, the social and emotional needs of children involves interacting with other children. And each child has a different home situation. Maybe they have siblings around the same age. Maybe they don't. If they're an only child, you know, no matter how many virtual play dates, there's no equivalent of physically playing and learning with your peers in that way. So what does not being around other kids right now do for their development and functioning?
I mean, it's good to keep practicing, you know, those basic social skills that we can do with adults as well. It would take a lot of like an extremely long time, like several years of not interacting with other kids for you to really lose those basic skills. There's definitely going to be a transition period when hopefully we're able to go back into physical school buildings, however that's going to look, where we're going to have to, you know, have a lot of reteaching of some skills about how we interact with other kids at school and how we follow behavior expectations so that everybody stays safe and is able to learn. But I think the good thing to think about, and, you know, something to help ease parents' anxiety about this, is that schools are already thinking about that of, my goodness, our children are going to be out of school for several months when we're able to come back. And so schools are already preparing for what that's going to look like. And so they're definitely going to be more focused on how can we support children both emotionally and socially when they come back to school, because they're going to have been through so much. And as you said, they're going to be out of practice with those, you know, how to interact with kids safely on the playground. Like, how do I sit still for 10 minutes to do a spelling lesson? And, you know, how do I express empathy skills with other kids? Because maybe I haven't been around them in so long. So as adults, we're all concerned about that. But the best thing you can do is just, you know, make your child feel safe right now. And I wouldn't worry too much, because it's, you know, they've had a lot of practice so far. So kids are very resilient. I think that's an important thing to keep in mind, so that they'll bounce back. Yeah.
So while parents are top of mind thinking of how are we going to cope through this time, a lot of people are concerned that kids are losing out on lessons, on learning time for these months of school. How would you address those concerns?
Sure. So I think number one, realize that teachers are all in this experience as well. And so they're going to be aware that students might have missed out on some of those last couple of months of curriculum items. So they know they might have to backtrack a little bit to pick up on those missing skills or missing topics in science or social studies. But in terms of sort of recommendations of what we can do, you know, now and over the summer, is if you're concerned about sort of those basic skills and learning in general, it's just to keep practicing those, like reading with your kids, or for younger kids, like working on letter identification, working with number sense, math fluency facts, and then continue to build those like problem solving skills and critical thinking skills with like science and experiments and projects. And I think what can be really helpful with kids, if you let them, you know, pick the topic that they want to do, whether if they're interested in like baseball or learning about specific people, like dinosaurs, or you can like pick a like a local spot to do a history report on, like maybe like the history of the Milwaukee County Park System, or like make it really interesting to them, just so they keep kind of like practicing those skills, and that'll help them transition back when they have to go back to school.
One concern that I heard is, do you think there will be any kind of waves of separation anxiety from parents once whatever school turns out to be, and especially depending on if kids need to wear masks, if there will be barriers, it might be a very different atmosphere than what they left. Or is it even too soon to think about that? Is that something we should worry about when time comes for kids to go back to school, to worry about that transition back?
So I definitely think it's something to be aware of, but I don't think at this point you need to worry about it. You know, I think the fact that it's on our minds is good, because we can do things now to make sure that our kids are more prepared, you know, when that transition is going to come. So that's things like working on identifying emotions, teaching them coping skills. But I think another important thing is just building your relationship with your child, so that when we are transitioning back to school and that's going to be so difficult, they have that sort of like base attachment relationship where they're feeling safe. So they will be able to, you know, go back, re-enter the world. And then when they're having difficulties, come back to you as a safe place to share their concerns and to work through things.
So of course, screen time has been a big issue before the pandemic. And of course, it's being used as an educational tool. If kids are younger, it's a means to keep them occupied while parents try to work. So is the impact of such increased and potentially excessive screen time as parents struggle to work from home, do you see like long-term repercussions of this? Or is this another matter of, this is what we're doing to make it through the time right now?
I guess, I mean, my initial response is you got to do what you got to do to get through the day, right? But I would also, but like sort of in terms of like tips of screen time, you want to make sure it's more about like what they're doing on the screen more than, you know, just screen time itself. And so there are a lot of great educational activities to do. It's also the main way that we're connecting with others, right? So we're going to be using screens to do that. So there are activities that are going to be good. Right, like playing video games is a way to like interact with their friends if they're doing that online. They're problem solving, they're using fine motor skills to operate that control as well. So screen time isn't bad in and of itself. Again, set expectations about what are my expectations for what you're going to be doing on the screen time. Monitor that. Make sure that they're taking breaks. You know, because eye strain can be a concern. And again, it, as we kind of said before, with being apart from their peers and not interacting with others, it takes a lot of screen time in order to have impact on cognitive development. And we've also know that it's really for a small percentage of kids where it's really going to have a big impact on any cognitive development at all. So I wouldn't panic about it and realize that this is not something that we usually do, that you get to be on the screen all day. But, you know, have breaks, make sure they're doing other activities so they're getting in that exercise as well. But unfortunately, just sometimes that's the strategy that we have to go to.
In the meantime, a lot of parents, of course, struggling to work full time from home while their kids are there. And if they have older children, perhaps it's easier to understand boundaries and you do your schoolwork, I need to do my work. But if you have young kids who associate you being home with it's the evening or it's the weekend and this is our time together, and there's, of course, feelings of parental guilt, not being able to give your focus to all of the things, work and your kids, and maybe your kids feel like they're being ignored or not giving the attention they need. How can this be addressed in a helpful way to help kids understand the new reality they're facing for a little while?
Sure. I think number one is to give yourself some grace, have some self-compassion, and realize that, you know, we have really good intentions. And so not every day is going to go as planned. And you're doing the best that you can to sort of fulfill those multiple roles in your life. You know, whether it's being a good parent or, you know, working from home or spending time with other family and friends as you can. So that's a really difficult thing to do. So give yourself some grace, have some self-compassion. But I think a good way to go about this, I get this question a lot, is to set those expectations, you know, every day about, you know, from 8 to 10 is going to be some school time. And this is what that means. So I need you to work a little bit, and we'll check in every 30 minutes. But this is a time when I have to get some work done myself. So setting some expectations, and then give them a lot of verbal reinforcement or other reinforcement, whether that's a special treat or if you play a game, like if you guys work for 2 hours, we'll play Monopoly together. So again, I think setting some expectations so that they know what to expect, reinforcing them so they're learning how to behave appropriately when you need them to do so. But I think allowing yourself to set those expectations is good. And as you said, like, we need to set some boundaries so that you're able to fulfill some other obligations.
Do you have any suggestions of how parents can help balance this if they have kids that are too young to even have a school routine?
So I think for younger kids, you know, it, unfortunately, it really depends on how well your child has developed some self-regulation skills. And that varies child by child for a lot of different reasons. So I think, you know, expect small bursts of being able to sort of occupy themselves, work when you're able to. And I know that's frustrating in and of itself, right? To not be able to, you know, sit down and work for a couple hours like you maybe need to. But also, I think if you sort of reframe the situation yourself of, instead of, man, this is so frustrating, I can't get any work done, I don't know how I'm going to be able to do this. But sometimes being able to think, what a great opportunity that I'm able to spend some more time at home and build a relationship with my kids and get to know them better. But realize too that you don't have to have that attitude every day. Like, some days are just going to be frustrating, and try as we might to have some good coping thoughts, it's extremely difficult to do that. So again, having self-compassion, being kind to ourselves, and realizing that not every day is going to go well, but as much as you can, take that time to set some boundaries, as much as you can, set some activities up for those younger kiddos.
So overall, learn coping skills, learn how to identify emotions with your kids, and have compassion for everybody. Is that your main tips and takeaways?
Yeah, that is a good summary. And that's, you know, skills we can work on as adults as well.
Dr. Maggie Alt-Schaefel is a psychologist at the Children's Hospital of Wisconsin Community Services. She joined us to talk about how to talk to your kids about the coronavirus pandemic and all the changes we're experiencing. You can find links to some of the resources Dr. Alt-Schaefel mentioned at wuwm.com.